O Lord, now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. Rejoice, rejoice, I say. Today, I rejoice because I have a granddaughter who is deaf. Today, I rejoice because I have a grandson who suffers from autism. Today, I rejoice because my wife of 61 years has dementia. Today, I rejoice also because my good friend and classmate Al Bosey's wife is now in hospice with a terminal brain tumor. I also rejoice because my good friends in Christ, Jennifer and Tom, have been called home. Paul says, rejoice to the people in the church of Philippi, emphasizing that they should have continuous joy in the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. And I say that here at Concordia, we ought to rejoice too. Here's Paul's voice and rejoice. Now you ask, why should we rejoice? We just lost Tom. We recently lost Jennifer. Red had a terrible accident to his hand. Others among us have suffered falls and illness and pain and suffering. We need a new roof on the church. We struggle to keep our pews full. And I'm sitting up here telling you to rejoice. Now you might say, Vicar, are you just that simple or just nuts? Folks, it's not me telling you that. It's Paul. It says Paul says to rejoice. And who among us has suffered any more than Paul? Listen to what he's went through in his life here. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day, and I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, dangers from Gentiles, danger from his own people. As you can see, Paul had a tough time of it. Now, Paul's not the only one we read about in the Bible that's had a tough time. The first guy that pops in my mind is Job, of course. He lost 10 children at once. 10 children gone. How about Zechariah? He was a prophet, and they stoned him to death in the temple for preaching the correct word. There was also Isaiah, a great prophet who Jesus often mentioned and quoted, and he was sawn in two for telling the truth because of his prophetic warnings. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet, and tradition has it that he was stoned to death too. Now I could go on and mention other people that in the Bible that suffered. John the Baptist, of course. Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And a bunch of all the apostles, except one, died a horrible death. But the greatest example of suffering is our suffering servant, Jesus Christ. Now please, please, please pay attention to the difference in suffering between the prophets and us and Christ. While we all have suffered in one way or the other, we all have pain, we all have something, listen to what Jesus said on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Can you see the horror here? Do you see the pain there? What could possibly be worse than being forgotten by God, forsaken by him? To be forsaken by God is not simply a physical problem or a spiritual problem or emotional problem, but it is a true crisis, a sense of utter abandonment by the one who creates everything. Jesus on the cross, this was not just agony, but agony for him, but the whole weight of our sin and humanity's sin was on him. And God laid it on him. So the horror here is not just the pain that he suffered from the scourging and the crucifixion itself, but it's the absence of the divine. The feeling that even the last refuge of hope is gone. There is no love. There's no reason to go on. It's gone. There's nothing there. And you're looking into an abyss. Now, in today's gospel, Jesus is telling his disciples and us what will take place in Jerusalem. He tells them that he will no longer be with them physically, but he will still always be with them. Listen to the promise he made to his disciples and also to us. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Do you hear that? He's sending us a helper. The one who can bring us to faith, to sanctify us, to keep us holy and safe as children of God. This helper has some other names, of course. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the Greek for helper even, Paraclete. And why is this such a great gift? Listen to Luther's explanation of this. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, and enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church. He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all the believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Now, as I started this sermon, homily, you might have assumed that I was really being sarcastic about rejoicing. But I really do rejoice. Paul writes, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into us, into our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, whom has been given to us. Now I rejoice because I see my deaf granddaughter has great love for others. And even though they can't communicate with her, she works with them. She just recently received her nursing aid license so that she can help others. I rejoice because my autistic grandson works diligently to get his college degree. And if he has failure, it sets him back in a class, it sets him back quite a bit. I rejoice because my wife, even though she can't remember a thing that happened 2 minutes ago, still smiles and loves people as she meets them. You've met her here. I rejoice also because Al and Sue have been such a great example of faith. In the midst of all this pain, they do nothing but praise God. And of course, I give thanks for Jennifer and Tom. How great a witness of faith they are, and they shared that with us. In Romans we read, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Can you see that when we ask, even if we get it wrong how we ask, the Spirit still bails us out? This is the point I'm trying to make. And Jesus is telling his disciples the same thing. Because he loves you, he is not physically present with you, he has sent his Holy Spirit in order that we may know him and not be orphans. Where can we find this Holy Spirit? We find him in the Word. We find him in the baptismal fount. We find him in Holy Communion. We find him in the absolution from the pastor's words. So, dear friends, let us rejoice. Not because of the suffering is pleasant, but because Christ himself is with us in every trial, and he sends his Holy Spirit that we are never abandoned, never left as orphans, and never without hope. Our Lord has promised that his grace is sufficient for us, and that we are made perfect in our weakness. As Luther teaches, it is not by our own reason or strength that we come to faith, but by the Spirit who calls, gathers, and enlightens us, and sanctifies us in every hardship. We look to the cross, and by his resurrection and ascension, we are assured of the forgiveness of life and that he will be with us. So therefore, let us hold fast to the word, trust in the Spirit's work, rejoice, again I say rejoice, that the hope that we have through Christ is ours. And now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may also abound in hope. Amen.